Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But today, my friends, I'm going to work on something a little different. I'm going to work on your psychological freedom. What is interesting, though, is that although I'm known for going from rags to riches kind of self-help entrepreneurial type spirit guy, there's really a lot underneath of all that. And the reason I'm going to share this, and I've shared bits and pieces of it along the way, so there's nothing new revelations today I'm going to throw out there. But the reason I'm going to articulate it today as a group of ideas, a group of things, is that I believe that there are a group of you out there that match my situation, which is you're living on the dark side. How do I know this? Because I get emails from you all the time where you're living lives of quiet desperation. Now, I guess jokingly, that's not really jokingly. I contend many times on the radio show that people are living lives of quiet desperation. And whenever people come up and meet me after they've been to a seminar or whatever, they go, you know, I just listen to you, and it sounds like you're speaking to me directly. And that tells me that this is more of a universal problem than what the world wants to admit. And so here we are in a situation where, you know, we're going through all this political turmoil. With, you know, the people on one side hate the people on the other side, and you can just feel that massive tension. And you can feel the visceral hatred of one side to the other. But what I'm contending is that there is visceral hatred, not on the open level. Like right now, the open level hatred, the people burning buildings down, the people screaming and yelling on both sides of the political stand, that visceral hatred, my friends, goes all the way back home. Goes all the way back to their childhood. Goes all the way, 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 way back to the beginning of their life. And they've never gotten out of it. They've never been able to break out of that shell of hatred for themselves, for their parents, for society in general, the way society treated them. Now, if you go back a couple generations, in my family, and I believe in almost everybody's family, especially if you go back to World War II people, and before that, you go to the Wild Wild West. The reality of the world then was, kill or be killed. Eat what you kill. Survive or die. And as we grew society, that tough level of thinking, that me against the world survival mentality, survives. It trickles down. It's called the zero-sum game. If I'm going to have any pleasure, it's only going to come at your distress. If I'm going to have any money, it's only going to come by me keeping you from getting money. This is that me against the world mentality that's out there. And as I think back, and you know, I was thinking about what are you thankful for? And I'm sitting here and this is so sad, but I'm not thankful for my parents. I wish I had different parents. I've met incredible families where the parents were incredible. And if you've got one of those families where your parents were incredible, and I want you to think about this. Your mother and dad didn't get divorced once or twice or three times or four times. Mine's four or five, six times. My mom four times. My dad three times. I mean, come on. And you were bouncing around in all those kind of broken homes all the time. Your parents never really got it. Yet there are people out there where the parents are solid as a rock. They don't bounce around. And they make not only a good family life, but a financial life, a secure financial life, a secure family life. And when you come out the other end, You know, you see the kids come out the same way. It's like an easy bake oven when I was a kid. Whatever you put in, it came back out, slid in one side, came back out the other side, same thing. It was baked a little, it was cooked a little, hardened a little, but it was still the same thing. Whatever you put in there came back out the other side, you slide it and it goes right through. And that's the way life is, you know? And so as I look back and I'm starting to think, well, what am I happy for then? If I really wasn't happy that, what am I happy for? So I want to share those with you today because there may be a few glimmers of light in here that somebody out there that's suffering can grab hold of. So I'm going to start with a book called Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer. If you are emotionally distressed right now, if you just think the world hates you and it's not fair and it's all over with and you're going to die and you even in suicide thoughts, get the book, Pulling Your Own Strength by Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'm sure at this time, the book must be 50 years old, 60 years old. I read it when I was a little kid. And it's probably too high of reading for a little kid. It might have messed me up, but it also saved my life. And what it taught me was, is that everybody out there is trying to manipulate your brain. Trying to manipulate you to believe what they want you to believe, to do what they want you to do. Because you are in a zero-sum game society. The only way they get more, by getting you to do what they want you to do, which gives them more, or stops them from doing what they have to do, or it takes it away from you, or in some cases, and Wayne Dyer explains this, it's just their way of spreading the unhappiness that they live. They're miserable. And they want that misery to spread. In fact, if I'm miserable, the only way I'll feel better is if other people around me are more miserable. If you ever catch yourself in a conversation where somebody just put you down or you're in a fight with your spouse, the only way to get out of that fight is to start talking about your relatives. You know, but what about, you know, God, did you see them? Or somebody else you know, and you start talking about, oh, man, you know what they did? Oh, my gosh. And then all of a sudden you feel better. Now, where does this mechanism kick in? You feel better by talking about other people's failures. I see myself doing it. I catch myself doing it. It's a defense mechanism. It's divert the glare on me. We are glaring at me and my faults. Let's divert that glare of our faults to somebody else. And I feel in most cases, after you read this book, Pulling Your Own Strings, it will change your life. Because you will just stand there with your eyes wide open and your jaw down, looking at people going, you're doing exactly what the book said you're doing. I see you manipulating me. I see you doing what you want, telling me to do what you want, trying to misrepresent what's actually going on so that you can get me to believe I should do what you want. And then it brings up the fact is that this happens at every level. So the Dems want you to think a way, the Republicans want you to think a certain way. And I remember when I was growing up, the Republicans were hated by kids. And the reason they were is because they wanted us to live in this little box and believe these little religious things that a lot of people growing up my age didn't believe. And then on the other side, now we hate the Dems because the Dems are doing the same thing. These kids that grew up, these progressive kids who had, they were hippies and they were whatever, we were freaks and heroin addicts and this, they're grown up now. They run the country. And what do they want? They want to control and manipulate speech, control and manipulate voting, control and manipulate us from doing what we want as far as jobs and businesses. It hasn't ever gone away. It's playground garbage that's now adult garbage.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
When the marketplace is so full there's no properties to buy, who buys these other properties? Well, investors do. While homeowners are out there trying to find something to buy, they can't because the investors are all over the market, sucking the market dry. And with lower and lower interest rates, because that's what the Fed's doing, they're creating lower and lower interest rates so more and more people can buy houses. All they're doing is creating ease of purchase for the investors. Look at this generationally, what it's going to do to our society. It's going to create the haves and have-nots. All of us that own real estate own all the assets. All of you that don't own real estate don't own any assets. Paper assets will eventually go away. The stock market will eventually crash. It's going to happen. They're already talking about it, you know. Whatever fear it is that week, that month, that year, all the work you've done for 40, 50 years of your life, you lose 40, 50% of it in one day. You say, well, that could happen in real estate. No, it doesn't happen in real estate because we don't sell it. If you don't sell, the value can't go down. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Styles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000. Each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I'm talking about what I'm thankful for, which is kind of strange. And you say, I'm thankful for my family. Well, I had a just atrocious family. It's just unbelievable. My mother was a bipolar psychotic of some kind who in her early days manifested into a alcoholic and a prescription drug addict, and who was, while I was growing up as a kid, was almost 100% knocked out, smoking cigarettes, laying on the couch, never did anything except yell and scream and yell and scream for me and my dad to take care of her, because she was a, you know, one of those people that thought she was dying of everything, and it was just terrible. I can't even explain how miserable it was as a kid. It was to exacerbate that by the fact that my parents had no idea how to raise a kid, and they fed us macaroni and cheese and garbage and cheap food because we were poor. And so by the time I was in fourth grade, I was 200 pounds. Now, interesting point, it's a problem with this, is that I look back trying to find pictures of myself. They don't have any pictures of me. I think I have 3 or 4 pictures of me before the age of 18 years old. About 18 is when I started taking pictures. After I had lost all my weight and started bodybuilding, I started taking pictures. But before that, there's only like 3 pictures of me before the age of 18. Why? I wouldn't get in front of a camera. I was a fat little kid. They shaved my head. So, you know, everybody had cool, cute, you know, your parents all loved these little boys that look, have these little cute haircuts, and some of them look like little girls. You see all the anger in my heart right there. And they all made their little boys look cute and almost like little girls, because girls like little boys that look like little girls. Nobody liked little fat kids with a shaved head and Coke bottle glasses. And so I had no friends, and I had just misery. I lived this miserable, contained life within my own brain. So you say, Del, you sound a little wacko. I was there. I mean, I was living in a hell that was unbelievable. But when I found this book, Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer, it made me understand why I felt like hell. It made me understand that people were making me feel like hell. People were making me feel bad about being fat, yet they were doing everything they can to keep me fat. My parents' favorite saying was, you can't get up from the table until you eat everything on your plate. So I remember what I used to do is I'd stick the food in my mouth, say I have to go to the bathroom. I'd go in the bathroom. There's a washer and dryer there. I'd throw the food behind the washer and dryer. I used to throw it in the toilet, but they caught me doing that. So then I started throwing it behind the washer and dryer. Months later, when it stunk so bad, they found it. You know, then they knew I was doing that too. But I mean, come on. Force your kid to eat everything on his plate? Are you out of your mind? Where do you come up with these insane ideas, especially when everything on your plate is terrible food, is unhealthy? Now, I don't think they knew what healthy was and unhealthy was, but they did it to me. When I read the book, Pull Your Own Strings, I realized they are force feeding me. They are making me fat. They are shaving my head. They are making me wear Coke bottle glasses when everybody else has contact lenses. I mean, it was just, I figured it out. My life was miserable because they were making it miserable. I also figured out at school, my life was miserable because all the kids who, you know, bothered me all the time and insulted me and made fun of me and joked of me were making my life miserable. So what this book taught me was, don't let those guys get in your brain. And then the next logical step is take action to improve your life. In other words, don't do what they want you to do. And so I started living that way. I stopped doing what everybody else wanted me to do at a very early age. I became a contrarian to almost everything in life. And it made a difference. I started becoming happy. I started feeling better. Life was fun for the first time ever. And then two things happened that changed my life forever. And there's no way I could thank anybody more on this earth than these next two situations that occurred. First one was, because I started living this contrarian life, my mother thought that I had inherited her loony gene. And by the way, I have a little bit of it because I catch myself every once in a while going into Looney Tunes zone. But she couldn't get out of it. And so she thought, again, her life was miserable because she had a loco kid. Her life was miserable because she had a stupid loco father. Everything was outside of her. She had none of the faults herself. And so she took me to a psychiatrist. And so she went in and talked to the psychiatrist with my dad and told him all the bad things that I'd done and how I wouldn't act. I wouldn't eat the way they wanted. I wouldn't dress them well. I wouldn't do what they wanted me to do, blah, blah, blah. And how I was resisting their demands to babysit my sister. And by the way, I had to clean the house. I did all the clean. My mom was a cripple, mental cripple. I had to clean the house. I had to cook. I did all this stuff. I was the adult in the family. And so they came out of the psychologist's office. I'm going to give you the short version of this. And they walked out. And at the time, my sister was throwing a tantrum. And this was one of the problems, is that they made me babysit my sister, and my sister got the lunatic gene. And so my mom and my dad loved my sister because every father loves his little daughter. My mother hated my sister because she was beautiful and I wasn't. And so that was her contribution to earth as this girl, and my father's contribution to earth. And so they both would make me take care of her and yell at me. So what happened was they came out the door and my sister's coat was on the floor. We were sitting a couple chairs. It was hers on the floor. And my mother went off on me right in front of the psychiatrist saying, blah, 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 blah. You should never let your sister's coat. Why you don't do anything right in life? You're a terrible, terrible, terrible brother. You're a terrible son. You're blah, blah, blah. The psychiatrist saw this stuff. And he grabbed her back in the office and yelled at her. She came out. He said, son, I need to talk to you. Walked in there. He said, son, let me explain this to you. You're okay. You're just fine. Your mother has a problem, but you need to realize it's not you. That was the most important thing I ever heard in my entire life. My dad didn't say it. My mother didn't say it. My grandfather didn't say it. Nobody ever said anything to me like that doctor. It only took a minute or two for him to say, you're okay. Pulling your own strings means in your life, you're okay. You can be okay. So the next thing that happened to me after that was I found a book by Bruce Randall. I swear to God, I looked up the name. I can't find the name of the book, but the guy's name is Bruce Randall. Bruce Randall was Mr. Universe way back in the 50s. And he had weighed 425 pounds and he went on a diet and weightlifting routine and lost from 425 down to 225 and became Mr. Universe. He was on Ed Sullivan. He was on all kinds of TV shows because it was the most phenomenal human physical change that they'd ever documented. I read the book and I go, that's it. That's what I need to do. And I went on a diet that summer. I went and found some dumbbells, some barbells that were in somebody's garage sale. I bought them for like $5, took them home, put them in my basement, and I proceeded to eat one can of tuna and one can of green beans 3 times a day. Answer, solution, bodybuilding.
Del Walmsley offers some tips on a better lifestyle.
You got to get the customer taken care of. That's rule number one. Rule number two is intense integrity. I mean, there's 1,000 things that happen. You have to make the decision, do I say what would be beneficial for me, or do I say what would be beneficial for the person I'm trying to help? Do I sway them in a direction that's beneficial for me, or do I sway them in a direction that's beneficial for their situation? And these are sometimes even tough choices. because sometimes you don't really know which way you should take them. They want to go one way. Their resources don't seem to want to go that way, don't seem to be available to go that way. Yet some people, through unwavering desire, overcome obstacles and limitations. So you got to be careful. You don't want to, you know, put somebody down or hold them back, but you have the responsibility to tell them about the risk involved and the other options that are available.
Right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. We're talking about things you should be thankful for, and I'm sure most of you have a lot of things to be thankful for. I know I have lots and lots and lots of things to be thankful for, but they wouldn't be the normal ones that you would associate with. Say, well, Del, shouldn't this be lottie-dottie-dottie, family, love type of conversation? And the answer is you're all going to do that anyway. Anyway, that's plenty of time. Now I'm talking to the real people, because your family's trying to control, manipulate you your entire life. You've never lived up to what your parents wanted you to be. You've never been able to get away from their control, manipulation. And I'm telling you how I did and how I became very successful and very happy because of it. So the first thing I bring you to is a book called Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer, who taught me that everybody out there is trying to control, manipulate you. You got to read the book to get the understanding how deep this goes. Even to people who say they love you, even to people who act like they love you, even to people that confess that there's nothing but love, especially people that there's nothing but love, and especially people like governments and religions. They all want to control you, so they tell you these are the important things in life. Of course, the important things are what they want you to do. And so, after reading that book, I reevaluated what was actually important in life and started becoming successful and happy because I stopped believing what everybody else said. Get a job, go to school, get a job, 401k, get an IRA, you know, get married, have two kids, get a dog, buy a house, and put money in a 401k, and when you're 65 years old, you should have enough money to retire and blah, blah, blah. That's what they taught you. And I figured out that's all wrong. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't work. That's why it doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't work. Then I found this book by Bruce Randall, who had gone from 425 pounds down to 225 pounds, and I followed what he said, and I lost all my weight, and within no time at all, I was the strongest kid in the state by the time I got to high school. And I lost all the body fat. I was ripped to shreds. And it was like all of a sudden I was from the guy that everybody hated. And by the way, I also got rid of my glasses and eventually got contacts. But what happened was I went from the little fat kid that everybody hated, well, actually big fat kid that everybody hated, to a center of attention. What was I? I was captain of football team. I was class president. I was king of prom. All of a sudden everything changed. But it changed because I read this book, not because my parents stopped doing the wrong things. It changed because I read this book about how to get into shape. Now, what did I really learn from this book? Other than the fact that I went on to be a successful amateur athlete and won tons and tons and tons of awards in both powerlifting, Olympic lifting, and bodybuilding, what I learned was, if you want something, find somebody who has it and copy what they do. And don't copy at your own behest. Copy what they do. And I did. And it worked. And so now I know, if I want to be rich, should I look at my parents? Well, they're not rich. Okay. I want to be rich. Should I look at my college professors? No, they're not rich. Should I look at my CPA? No, he's not rich. My attorney? No, he's not rich. None of the people that we look to for direction in life have anything to do with being rich. They have other things that you could ask them that they know about, but not how to make money. School doesn't teach you how to become rich. It doesn't teach you how to be a business person. School teaches you how to be a cubicle dweller, how to work for someone else, how to get off of the street into a rat wheel, whatever they call those gerbil wheels, and just start churning away for the rest of your life. And I learned if you don't want something like that, you have to go find somebody who does it differently. And I went on and found the information necessary to become a multi-multi-millionaire through investing in real estate. And we've all heard that story. We'll go to it another time. But I want you to understand the next book I found was a book called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World by Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown had run for president as an independent libertarian. But whatever, this guy was a genius. And what he wrote about was that society in whole. Now, remember, pulling your own strings, Wayne Dyer hit on that, but he was mostly focusing on the people directly around you, your friends and family and relatives that were manipulating you. This was, hey, the whole world is manipulating you. They teach you beliefs like, we need a government to build roads. No, we don't. You can build a private road. In fact, toll roads are probably the most successful roads out there. Very good roads. There was no government intervention. That was a toll road. So it's a private road. We have private roads. You can build roads without government. It says everything out there can be done without government. Now, one of the things that he says that you do is that you create affiliations. You don't give up your power. You don't give up your life. And that's what the Constitution was about, folks. They tried to figure out a way to affiliate 12 affiliated states, I think it was, whatever the original 12 or 15 states were. But that was an affiliation, a loose affiliation, to say the least. And they never wanted the government to take control like they have now. And this guy explained all this about how you don't need partners to go into deal. I see tons of people going like, hey, man, I'm going to go buy a rent house. Would you do that with me? And I don't know why two guys who each have enough money to do a rent house think that going together and buying, we can buy a bunch of them together. Let's do it together. Why do people need to do things together? And then they partner and they have equal power. That's not the way deals work. That's not the way a successful deal works. A successful deal works when you put together a business and then you let other people invest in the business, but you have control of the business. If you don't do that, then there will be fights and battles and this and that and the whole bit, and it just doesn't work. When I first created Lifestyles, I wrote a class called Partnerships Suck, and here's 15 ways to get around that. It was a three-hour seminar on how to get around the fact that just going and doing something with your brother, your sister, your mother, your friend just doesn't work. And there's so many loopholes in that idea. So this How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World book taught me about how to align myself with people so that they didn't have control over me. Because all of your social connections, all of your political connections, all of your religious connections, all of these big group ideas that you think you have to belong to this big group to get something done is holding you back. In other words, I'm not going to be happy until the whole group's happy is a nonsensical concept. Yet it drives our political beliefs. The thing is that when you say that you're a part of a group, you disempower yourself. You don't empower yourself. You disempower you. You now have to act as a collective. And as a collective, you're going to get regression to the mean. And you're going to end up being the person that's living a life of quiet desperation in the middle of doing all the work. So we look at this stuff, and this was the next growth spurt in my life. It allowed me to start doing business with people and having relationships with people that actually made sense and where I didn't get taken advantage of in the relationship. So you can take this all the way down to a husband-wife relationship. That can be a terrible arrangement if set up the way society wants it to be, right? The parent-child relationship can be terrible, but that's more of pulling your own strings. Anything where you're going to affiliate with people becomes problematic unless you set it up the right way. It's not that we can't do stuff with other people. We have to set it up the right way. So the last book that I want to cover today, and there's hundreds of great books and hundreds of great people in my life that have been mentors at different points in life, but didn't get there till I got to this point, because until I was at the point where I understood how to create relationships and combinations of people effectively, I couldn't really use a mentor.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley,
The guy sent me an article today that I just didn't want to put on. I read it and it was good. And I read it and I go, this just isn't going anywhere, because for that very point that there's two sides to every story. He was talking about how football players are completely ignorant adults that have absolutely no point of view that means anything to anybody. That you wouldn't go to your plumber to find out about brain surgery, you would not go to your brain surgeon to find out about plumbing, and you wouldn't go to a pro football player to look into politics and the way the world works, because they have no political science, no political information, no information at all, because 99% of them are illiterate. And that's probably an over-exaggeration, but have you ever heard any of them speak? But they get paid millions and millions, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars to go out there and be a show. They're entertainment for the rest of us. Just because they're entertainment, I wouldn't go to a dog trainer and ask them how to set up finances for the country. These people have no relevance to be on a national stage saying anything about politics. They're there at the behest and the whim of the people watching them. And they're saying that they're disrespecting the whole country by kneeling. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I understand what you're saying, I understand what you're feeling, but here's what I see on the other side of the parable. The other side of the parable is a bunch of stupid people kneeling. And if you think they're that stupid, then them kneeling shouldn't bother you at all, because I see a bunch of stupid people kneeling. Kneeling isn't going to do anything except irritate people, and that's what they want to do, is irritate you. And if you don't let them irritate you, then they're just stupid people kneeling to get paid a lot of money, a lot of really rich stupid people kneeling, right? So I would say also, if you don't really like it, it's real simple. Just stop watching the sport. And quite honestly, I stopped watching sports. I don't think I've watched any sports at all. Zero sports. Right? Because it's just ridiculous. There's no need to. And now when they put it back on again, you say, well, you'll watch it then. Again, all of that is just parable. It's parable speak for something. I'm trying to get this point across, is that all of this, this whole online TV radio genre of people talking at you, is just parable. It's just them trying to put a story in your head that you'll remember, that it changed the way you think. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about all the things I'm thankful for. And as you listen to me, if you're a part of that established world out there that wants to believe that what you think is right and everything you think is right and everything else is wrong and blah, 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 then you're probably uncomfortable with this conversation. If you're someone out there right now that knows you're living a life of quiet desperation and you can't figure out why, this conversation might be interesting to you. You might be willing to open your mind up a little bit and then read some of these books and understand the concepts and then have the power to change your life. The next book I want to talk about is very, very powerful. The book is called Think and Grow Rich, written by Napoleon Hill. And what he did was he interviewed for over, I think it was like a 30-year period of time. He had gone around and interviewed the wealthiest people in the world. And what he used to do, what his job was, he wrote self-help articles, you know, wasn't books, but articles and pamphlets and stuff. So you'd get like a story. You get a story about Andrew Carnegie, and you get another story about Rockefeller or something like that. And he'd interview these great people, and he'd then put out this pamphlet on what they said. Well, after a long enough period of time, he had accumulated all this information. He consolidated it, and along with that, took the theories that each of these wealthy people told him, explained to him about, and he put him in the book. And he consolidated into a manner that was really easy to read and very, very powerful. But one of the things he said in the book was, from the very beginning, almost the first page, I think it was, he said, in this book, on every page, is the way to become wealthy, rich, successful in every aspect of your life. He said, the problem is you're not ready to receive those ideas. So what you need to do is read this book and put it down, let it sink in, and then pick it back up again later and read it again. Because some of the stuff that's in this book, in fact, a lot of the stuff in this book, you won't get. You don't have the psychological understanding and strength to understand what these rich people are telling you. And it's true. I mean, when I tell people things like, you need to refinance your house, you have a paid in full house, it's a totally ridiculous thing to have. Get the money out of there and go buy yourself income-producing assets. Don't know how many times in 30 years, thousands and thousands of people have come to me and said, my wife can't understand that, or my husband can't understand that, you know, or my banker can't understand that, or my parents can't understand. Everybody thinks that paying off your house is the most important thing. But until you understand that, that capital may be the only capital you have and you're never going to have enough money to get rich with, you'll never be able to go on to the next step with, which is what do you invest that money in, because you don't get your money because you did everything that they told you to do. A perfect example of that is Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey wants you to never get off your bicycle. Never, ever use leverage to get rich. Every person I know that got rich used leverage. They used other people's money, other people's time, and other people's knowledge. They don't do it themselves. People that do it themselves are doing things as a hobby. They're piddlers. Yeah, they may be an artisan, and they make something that as their artisan they can do, but they're never going to be really rich, never going to be really financially successful in any way, shape, or form, because you have to use leverage to get there. So I read this book, and it was so profound. And by the way, I took a highlighter, and I highlighted it. I think the first time I highlighted it was in yellow, which is, you know, the yellow highlighter. And it was so profound, I found myself highlighting entire paragraphs, sometimes just circling pages and bending pages, because it was unbelievable, and it wasn't one word. It was an entire thought, a theory. And man, by the time I got done with that book, I was so fired up. I was ready to change my life completely and become a multi-millionaire. Well, actually, back then, all I ever dreamed about was being a millionaire. The multi-millionaire thing's a whole other story. In fact, we'll cover that another day. So I read this thing, and I was like, wow, that's unbelievable. And I went, and I started using these things. About 6 months to a year later, I decided I better read the book again, like it said. So I went back with a different highlighter color. I think I had a green highlighter. And what was interesting, as I read the book again, when I came to the yellow highlighted areas, you know what I thought? I thought to myself, that's just common sense. Everybody knows that. I don't know why I even highlighted that. And at the time, it was the most profound thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. But what had happened is I internalized it. I internalized it to the point where I now thought it was common sense to don't pay off your house. I knew better. It was common sense that a 401k doesn't work. I figured those things out. And so at that next level, as I read this book, I was finding stuff that I didn't even see the first time I read the book. That's why people have to take my seminar 3, 4, 5 times. Some people come back every year and take it again because they're ready for a new idea. An idea that was in there from the very first time they took it, but they weren't ready for that idea. So a guy comes in and just realizes, I got to change my life. That's the first thing they learn. Second thing they learn is, okay, I've got to go change some things about what I do with my money. You know, and they have to then finally get the guts up to do that. Then they do that. Now they come back, go, man, I'm going to buy single family houses. And then they go out and do that. And they go, you know what? Now that I come back, listen to it again. He's right. I should have bought multifamily. So now I'm going to go buy multifamily. And then they go buy a, you know, a 5-unit, a 10-unit, and they come back a year later and go, man, I should leverage this up. Why did I stop? Why am I happy that I'm making $5,000 a month? I need to make $10,000 or $20,000 a month. And I need to do it. And to do it, I got to do the same thing. I've got to get off all my ideas that allowed me to get to the point of owning 10 or 20 units. I've got to jump off that idea and go deeper. That's the way that book works. So one day I was sitting at lunch, reading the book again. I saw two guys sitting at a table. They saw the book. I later found out one of them's name was Dan Pastorini. He was a quarterback for the Houston Oilers. And the other one was a guy who owned the BMW dealership in town. Two very, very successful rich guys. And they called me over and said, hey, I see you're reading the book. I said, yeah. He said, how many times are you on that book now? How many times have you read it? I think they saw my highlighting colors. And I said, 3. He goes, I'm at 11.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
To be financially free, folks, you're going to have to be able to make good decisions. To make good decisions, you're going to need information. As you go out there and look for information, the reality is that there are all kinds of people trying to give you all kinds of ideas. Why? Because they're trying to sell you something. And with that in mind, you have to realize you're going to have to be able to read through their scripts and then look at and overview the concept of the rest of the world and parallel those ideas together and come up with the one you believe actually is true or more true or closest to the truth, however you want to look at it, because, you know, there's always two sides to every story. However, there is also two sides to this story. A very high percentage of Lifestyles Unlimited members are retired. A very high percentage of Lifestyles members are rich. Both of which cases, they came to Lifestyles neither rich nor anywhere near retirement.
Remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.